it's not cool, but you're going to get a ton of airtime the first day. You're going to be the first team. That's true. You're going to be the first team.
Oh, looking like a rock star.
On the live stream, you're going to look like amazing.
Yeah, and then
you'll be in the last tee by the second day.
Yeah.
Of course. But it's actually kind of nice to do that because there's a lot less heat on you.
That's true.
You kind of get into the weekend.
I kind of wish I'd done better on those bar facing burpee workouts, but.
I know, because you've done a ton of burpees.
Dude, but you know, I have not done enough running, have not done enough aerobic capacity work. You know what I mean?
You feel like you just underdid that?
I just underdid that. And I think what I did do was I programmed for the gym. Uh-huh. So that they would get, better.
Yeah.
And they are inherently just not as good at the things that I'm good at.
Right.
So programming for them to make them better, I wouldn't say it was easy, but if I put my mind to it, it was no problem. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I'm doing that programming and yeah, I can still snatch 300 pounds.
Right.
And I can still clean, you know, and jerk 375, but I can't run a mile in under 6 minutes. Right?
Right.
And that's why I should have been trying to focus on.
Right.
So this next 6 weeks is about that.
Gotcha.
So like, you know, running faster. And I know there's no running at regionals, but the ability to be light on my feet.
I'll probably have the true form again. Jake's got one at his fire station, by the way.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Can we go use it?
Anytime, he said.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right, guys. Welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I'm Ben Alderman.
And I'm Blair Morrison. We are here recapping 16.5 and the Open as a whole. Now that things are kind of in the rearview mirror, Ben, give me your thoughts.
Kind of felt like a weird open, you know. It just seemed I like the programming, but just the way things shook out in different regions and the people who I'm kind of used to seeing on the top of the board weren't always there, and you know, just felt like it was a little bit different. I liked it, but it just felt different.
Yeah, we talked a lot over the past few weeks about how much we liked the creativity in the workouts, up until the final one, which obviously was a repeat, and not many people were happy to see that, but it was hard for sure. But yeah, I agree. I think it was a weird open, but I think it was a really good one. Because the workouts were fun and different, that made it less of a grind. Usually, you know, 5 weeks of the open can get really, I don't want to say overwhelming, but it can get kind of old, you know,
yeah.
Everybody's like, really looking forward to the opportunity to get back to regular training and working on their specific weaknesses rather than, you know, trying to guess what the workout is going to be so they don't overdo that movement.
Mm-hmm.
And all that's still true, but I felt more engaged this year for a longer period of time. It wasn't until the final workout came out that I was like, all right, I'm ready for this to be over.
Right. And I think that the open wouldn't almost be the open unless there was at least a little bit of that where you're just like, I don't want to do this, but I have to do it, you know? So I think Dave, maybe in that aspect, nailed it right on the head. You know what I mean? Hit the nail right on the head on that one.
Yeah. He made people uncomfortable.
Hate their life for a little while, yeah. Right? Like you almost wanted to quit CrossFit. You're like looking at the leaderboard. Can I make it? Can I not make it? And people were like, you know what? I just don't even want to finish. You know? So
we had by far the most no-shows in our gym on the last week.
Yeah.
Like by far.
Yeah, exactly. And
mailed it in.
That's the same thing with people at my gym. And I even talked to a guy. He said, so the open's over, right? Nobody's repeating this. Nobody's doing anything else. I'm like, nope, it's done. He's like, all right, I'll start showing up to the gym more again. he just told me that flat out. Just then I'll start coming more. I was like, okay. You know, I think that with the 16.5, I think part of the buildup, you know, seeing Ben Smith, Rich Froning, you know, Matt Fraser, you know, at the ranch, you kind of felt like there was going to be more, you know, than just a repeat. Hey, 16.5 is going to have a repeat of a movement that you did in week one and your workout is 14.5. Was this kind of underwhelming?
I think for the reasons you just laid out, yes, it was. The fact that they were at the ranch, the fact that it was those three guys. I mean, these are, you know, arguably the best men in the sport and they're at a kind of hallowed ground, right? You kind of want something special. And the workout, while very difficult and totally challenging, was not special. You know, it was something we had already done, and it's something that could have been done almost anywhere. It did not need to be done at the ranch.
Right.
You know, I think it would have been a lot cooler to see, you know, a movement or a workout that was from one of the old games, like, hey, we're going to bring back, you know, the deadlift burpee or the wall ball hang squat snatch from one of the years of the games, you know?
Right.
That would have been kind of cool. And then you could,
or even the 30 squat clean and jerks at 155.
Or the 30, yeah, that would have been, yeah, that would have been really cool. And the one that Jason won.
1,000 meter row, 25 pull up, 7 shoulder overhead. There's that one, 135. Seven rounds. Yeah, and then they did it at the games. Remember that? They did it at the games.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That'd be another one.
Yeah, that would have been fun. So I think because of the location, because of the guys that were there, there was like this great potential for something unique. And, you know, it just didn't happen. And not to say that it was a bad open because of that, because obviously I think it was my favorite open so far. But I think just with that situation, the way it was, I think everybody allowed their imagination to kind of get ahead of itself.
Yeah, that's probably it too. You know, it's like, was it a bad open? No. Was it an appropriate workout? Possibly. And, you know, it was just underwhelming because of the way we built it up, right? Even maybe on the show, you know, just being like, oh, excited about, or at least between you and I, being excited to see those three guys throw down, excited to make the drive to Aromas ourselves. That didn't turn out so well. But, yeah, you know, just doing those kinds of things made it very, you wanted something more. The part where I would say the negative about it, you know, if I'm going to, you know, venture that way, I feel like since we did bar facing burpees in the first week, we also use a 95 pound barbell, right? So now we have a 95 pound barbell in the first, you know, week and bar facing burpees and the same 95 pound barbell and bar facing burpees in the final week. And so I felt like the tests were, I don't want to say they were skewed or that the results are skewed and the wrong people are going to regionals. It's not necessarily what I mean, but I do feel like we tested a little bit of the same capacity, you know.
Right. It's a little bit repetitive.
It's a little repetitive, right? And we only have 5 tests. You know, Josh Bridges got paid $2,016 on both those workouts. You know what I mean? Because he won both of them.
Right.
With it's a 95-pound barbell and burpees are involved, like pretty much any workout, I don't know what workout he's going to lose.
Yeah, I like his chances.
I like his chances, exactly. So in some ways, I feel like we did test the same thing on the first and fifth week.
Yeah. I mean, definitely movement-wise, the way the workout felt was drastically different for me. The first week, I felt more or less comfortable the entire time, just at a steady pace moving. And the final week was not comfortable, right? I mean,
yeah.
I tried to be comfortable, but the pace is so much faster. And just that thrusters are a movement that you can't pace. They jack your heart rate no matter what. So I think that the stimulus was different, like the response was different, which is probably what, you know, the games crew is worried about. Like, hey, well, we haven't made them feel this shitty yet. But yeah, the movements were the same. You probably could have got a very similar response by doing, you know, I don't know, burpees over the box instead of bar facing burpees. Like, you could have done something a little bit different.
Right.
You know? So.
So I'm just actually, I talked to a few of my athletes, some of my better athletes, and we all felt the same way. I don't know how it seemed in your gym, but how much worse was 16.5 than 14.5?
You know? I think a lot of us had rose colored glasses as we looked in the rearview mirror at that workout to kind of forgot how difficult it was. For me personally, it was about the same. It didn't feel any harder, but I think part of that was because of where there was a lot less pressure on me to perform for this workout than in 2014. 2014, I was trying to go as an individual. I needed that workout. I had not been doing that great up until that point, as I recall. And I really had to, and I'd never done that many unbroken thrusters before. So it was like, I was just really on the edge. Whereas this year, you know, I had been a little sick the week before. I knew our team was going to make it. So I was able to kind of like ease into it as much as you could do that with that workout. I think I ended up finishing 19 seconds slower than I did in 2014, but it didn't, I was not like passed out on the floor like everybody else was around me. So I'm like, okay, they did something different. You know, they went a little bit harder. And we had multiple athletes that were like, I never want to do that again, ever. And, you know, they had done it before. And a lot of them got faster and better. So you think, oh, right, this is like a... No.
Not at all.
No.
Well, I got worse.
You got worse?
I did worse. I did far worse on my attempt. And I actually wanted to do really well on that because I wasn't on the bubble as far as where I was at in the regional placing before. But after the workout, I went...
Right square on the bubble.
Yeah, I'm like sitting on the bubble. I'm thankful that some of my friends are going team because I wouldn't be able to go as an individual to regionals if it wasn't for that.
How much worse were you? How much slower?
23 seconds.
Okay, so about the same as me.
Yeah. I mean, relatively speaking, because your times were faster, yeah. So, I mean, I was 10:39, which is not very respectable. And in some regions, that would have left me, like, I mean...
Right, deep.
Deep, yeah. In some regions, obviously, I would do even better, you know, some of the other workouts. But, you know, in that particular workout against the strongest regions, that score would have made it so I couldn't go at all. So, I don't know. I don't like that workout. I obviously need to work on my burpee game.
Let's talk about that workout, because when I was kind of explaining it to my gym, I tried to break it into two pieces. I said the thrusters are a physical challenge, and then the burpees are a mental challenge. I look at the thrusters as being something where if you're an elite athlete, you need to be able to do them unbroken, right? If you're not an elite athlete, you need to know when to break the thrusters. Like, you need to know what you're capable of and break them accordingly and stick with that, right? Challenge yourself physically to make the numbers that you set out to make. When it gets to the burpees, it's really about mentally being able to not rest, right? And not slow down. Because with very few exceptions, you can always do one more burpee, right?
Right.
You can always do it. It's just...
I say right hesitantly because I did not feel like that during that workout.
It just doesn't feel very good. And if you can keep your burpee split time in that workout between 3 and 4 seconds, you're going to have a great time. You know, you're going to be under 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's just, do you have the mental capacity to keep that metronome? You know, is that how you felt about the workout?
I did feel that about the workout until I did it, you know, and I was not able to keep my 3 to 4 seconds of burpee, which I was like, it was a little aggravating, you know, it really is aggravating for me.
Do you think it's a technique thing?
Partly a technique thing, partly just being 210 pounds.
Right. Big guys, burpees are hard.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So like I said, I think I already took my hit on the, burpees in week one, but Dave made me pay for them twice, you know? So,
I think he probably got a lot of criticism last year about it being a big guy regional.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's a lot of big dudes at regionals that, you know,
didn't have the motor they needed maybe to.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe it's a little pendulum swinging back the other way. I definitely felt like, you know, we've been given the open a lot of credit for, being creative with the movements and the combinations, you know, with the exception of the final week, it was a bunch of stuff we'd never seen before. You know, we did bar muscle ups, handstand pushups were there again. There's a lot of gymnastic movement, you know, hanging from the bar, like toes to the bar the first week, the second week. Chest to bar pull-ups were kind of negligible the first week.
Right.
That's probably the least impact pull-ups I've had on the open since it started.
That's true.
But in general, I think this probably did favor smaller athletes this year. There's one workout that really hurt them, which is the heavy squat cleans.
Right. But the bar got so heavy, even some of your big guys that you would expect to be able to handle the barbell couldn't because of the volume of toes to bar and double unders.
Right, and they just ran out of time.
Yeah.
That was a brilliant workout.
And yeah.
I'm not that excited. I have to do it again to get a video submission for my placing. But it's a great workout. So, I mean, I think, but that was the only one that really rewarded size.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I really like the fact that I can come to you for like mental tips and tricks on basically every workout, but then you also make the same, like the mistake to not video your own 16.2. Yeah. So I can still hold something over your head. Like that makes me feel really good. I actually don't feel good that you have to redo the workout, but I feel good that you're not smarter than me at everything.
Yeah. That was kind of a bonehead move. I think coming into this season, I should have known that I'd have to do, I didn't know that it was top 50 had to record.
Right.
So I just kind of like didn't put any, I was like, I don't want to bother with it, you know, cause it is an extra 5 minutes or so of your life. So it's all stupid and I'm paying for it, but you know, it's whatever. I'm sure I'll be able to get my squat clean at 275 again.
Yeah, I'm sure. How do you think that most of our listeners should be thinking as they reflect back on the open, you know, what kind of stock can they take from from their finishes in these workouts? You know, what does it tell them about their fitness?
I think the biggest takeaway is if you're gonna stay in CrossFit and you're gonna use this as your way to maintain your fitness, it's just a great, you know, watermark for you year after year. Like, see what percentage you rank in your region, right? Hey, are you top 10%? Are you top 20% in your age group, right? And then the next year, see if you're in that, if you're holding steady. Maybe you got better, right? And then you can look at these workouts that repeat, you know, a couple years ago. Did you get better? Did you get worse? Those things are all pretty obvious. But I think maybe the unintended takeaway is that you're gonna kind of feed off this momentum for the next few months where you're like, I'm not good enough at bar muscle ups, or I wish I could do a bar muscle up, you know? And that was only exposed. You only were forced to try and fail because you entered this, you know, competition, right? Where it's not your choice to show up and do the workout. Like, oh, I'm just gonna, you know, cherry pick and dodge that one. Like, okay, it's face to face with something you can't do, and now you feel crappy about it. And so now I think that momentum will carry you forward to work really hard for the next month or two, you know, before it gets too far away from your memory. And you chances are you're going to make some really great improvements because of that motivation.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. I mean, I saw people in my gym I know that did not get a bar muscle up, and it just bothered them because they saw so many firsts on the bar muscle up, at least at my gym. And so they just felt like they had to keep practicing and drilling and going and doing more and more and more. So you've already seen that hard work that they put in before the open, already then like level up one more time as they try to get some of those movements that they see that could possibly be part of the open.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's guys, they're just staying after class now, just doing bar muscle ups. I'm seeing it every day. I'm like, awesome. This is great. Like, yeah. Put the time in to acquire that skill, because all of them are strong enough. They just don't know what it feels like to do it. So you know, I think it's cool.
The other thing too is I think when you have somebody counting for you, when it is an open workout, when you're forced to basically do it, right? There is so much where it's such a pressure filled environment, and you go just a tiny bit harder, that even that takeaway is they learn they can push harder in the gym when they're just being coached by you following the normal programming, you know? And I think that's a really cool thing to see is people just taking that intensity, and now at least some level that trickles down to normal classes, trickles down to their normal training, right? And they don't just go to that really dark place once a year. They kind of start tapping into that every now and then when they need to, you know, Monday through Friday.
Yeah. As a coach, I remember I think you and I discussed this last year, how having somebody count reps for you changes the dynamic of the workout. And so we've done that quite a few times now. I would say not every week, but at least every other week, where there's a workout that it makes sense to split up into two heats and have people count reps. And it's fun. You get a little bit more of like legitimacy with people holding themselves to standards. And I agree. I think they push themselves harder when someone's watching you.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I actually get a lot of visitors, as I'm sure you do, who drop in from out of the area. And a lot of times when they come in, because partner workouts are really normal at my gym, you know, it's like, I've never done a partner workout before. I've never done two heats before. And they don't know what that's even like, you know?
Right. So maybe they didn't do the open ever, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? I think there's a lot of gyms out there that don't push the open, that don't do partner workouts, and they don't have those two heat type workouts. So they never really know what that intensity level is like. So I don't know. For my gym, since we participate in all those things, you know, it just means everybody's going to get better.
Yeah, I think, I mean, and participation is really what the open is about, right? It's totally open and inclusive. It costs $20. And we've talked before on the show about how what different methods you can get to get people to participate more. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it feels like in a lot of areas in life even, that, you know, we are in the business of convincing people to do something that is good for them, right? You know, the reason why gyms are open and why we have jobs is because not everybody is intrinsically motivated to perform or to improve. They want these things, they want the results, but to get there, it's hard and you kind of need help, right? And that's how I kind of look at the open is, it is a very galvanizing time of year for a CrossFit gym. People can talk about not the workout of the day, but they can talk about the open workout, which is like a bigger deal, right? They can see them their own names on the leaderboard. They can see their gym's name on the leaderboard, and there's a sense of pride in that. And I think that a lot of individuals don't see that until they're kind of forced or convinced to sign up. They look at it as like, I'm not a competitive person. Why would I do this competition? Why would I give money to CrossFit to be part of something that I'm not going to advance in? When really that's not what it's about. At least in my experience, the last 5 years of doing the open with my gym, it's got progressively more inclusive and more fun. Like, these people are doing the workout scaled now, which is great. And there's just so much pride in completing it, you know, doing something that is physically and emotionally uncomfortable and stressful, mm-hmm. and then completing it and being like, yeah, I did that. You know, that's great for your culture in your gym, and it's great for the individual, but, you know, sometimes you really got to drag them to it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I heard a lot of people who were just, they'd bring me their phone, they'd show me, oh, I was 20th in my age group in the scaled division, or I was 45 in, you know,
right,
in our region in whatever division that is, you know. And it's, to me, that is, I mean, I told my competitors on my closed Facebook group that I was proud of them and the everyday athlete who comes into the gym, you know, the everyday Monday through Friday workout guy who doesn't care about their finish in the open necessarily, or doesn't care about going to regionals. I was just as proud of them as I was as the competitor. And the
absolutely.
And for the competitors, we were able to turn out at our gym, like you, a team. You know, so we have a team. And this year, I get to go as an individual.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, the team competition, because I was curious where you guys finished in the region.
I think, like, just above you.
Was that just above us?
I think.
Is that how that worked? Oh, no, that's not how it worked out.
Okay.
No, there's Tie-Dye Nation in 5th, Iron Mile in 7th.
Oh.
Ironic, however, that you guys destroyed us in the burpee thruster workout.
They didn't use my score, I don't think. Or maybe they used my score for the last spot. Yeah. No, it's crazy, dude. Like, I'm telling you, I held my team back this year, you know?
No, I mean, you were the second score. It was you, Jay, and Curtis.
Oh, well, all right.
But maybe you did have Jen, who just slayed it with a sub-9 time.
Yeah. Having added another strong girl to the mix this last year, I mean, we've really added, to be honest, we've added like 4 or 5 new pieces over the last 12 to 18 months.
Right.
You know, and it's made the gym really, really good. Some people have kind of come and gone, but I think the group that's there now, more than just athletically solid, is just like, everybody's cool. You know, everybody's cool. Everybody has a good time training. And I think, you know, I was talking to my wife about this last night.
Uh-huh.
Way more fun, like, whether you qualify or don't qualify, if you get to train day in and day out with people that you enjoy being around, right? Like, I feel like that is almost better than just regionals or the games or something like that, because so many of us put so many hours in this. If you were doing this with people you don't enjoy being around, just be lame.
Right. Exactly. It's exactly what I was going to say, is it may feel more rewarding than regionals or better than regionals because it lasts a lot longer than regionals, you know? Yeah. It's like you got to spend all this time in there, and if you're doing it with people you don't enjoy, then it can be a real drag.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think as far as your team goes, you guys have gotten a lot more pieces over the last, you know, 12 to 18 months that are, I mean, that's going to be great for your overall scoring, obviously, but also it's good for your chemistry, you know? It's really hard to hold the torch, you know, on your own competitively.
Right.
It's a lot better when you have multiple people setting that example, right? And they can motivate others to improve and get better and maybe get to that next level when they never maybe would have thought it's possible. You know, a lot of times your aspiring athletes don't believe in themselves as much as you believe in their potential. Because let's say, take you as an example, you're regional athlete every year, knocking on the door of the CrossFit Games. If you get a kid who you see all the potential in, he sees an incredible gap between him and you that is, you know, insurmountable maybe. But if there's a couple other guys in between the two of you, right? Now he's like, well, I can push hard and maybe I can get to this guy's level. And once he's there, now it's like, now I can get to this guy's level. And once he's there, he's like, you know, I'm, you know, I'm right there. I could get to where Ben is.
Right.
It becomes more attainable, you know?
Yeah.
Rather than having to make that huge leap.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's a good point because that's why I think maybe CrossFit also did a really good job early on by having the CrossFit.com putting scores, right? They would put scores early on in the workouts right below the image or whatever, or the workout of the day. They'd put, you know, Blair Morrison got 10:08 and Chris Spieler got, you know, 7:57, or you know what I mean? Like,
that sounds about right.
Yeah. But they'd put those things and you
whenever
could
go, they posted Chris's name on the workout, he was just so fast.
Especially one workout a day, a CrossFit, like true CrossFit workout.
The lightweight stuff, he was just smoking it.
I still don't want to go against a guy like that, you know, even though he's training once a day, he says, and
right. He took 22nd in his region this year.
Yeah. That's like the same.
He could go if he wanted to.
Yeah. I was 22nd as well. That's my final spot. So I don't know how strong the regions are, but potentially he could be, you know, I mean, I actually believe that Chris is more fit than I am. Chris is like so good when it comes, especially with open workouts.
Right.
You know what I mean? But just going back to the chemistry thing, I think chemistry makes everything, both in a gym, like in an affiliate, right, and with a competitive group. And I think it's important when you have both those dynamics present in a gym that both sides of the gym, competitive and non-competitive, are homogenous. Does that make sense? Like
you're still on the same page.
We're still on the same page. You know, I had people before the Open was even over, people in my gym who already had rented a beach house in San Diego, bought their plane tickets, and done all that stuff. You know, like a large number of people are already committed to going to regionals.
Lila's going to regionals.
Yeah, I could hear.
We've got a bunch of people that have reserved stuff on Airbnb and got their flights and everything already because we want it to be a tie-dye invasion down there.
I think it probably will be. It seems like it because tie-dye is just such a, like, it catches your eye. You know what I mean? Like, if there was four of you guys there, people are like, man, what's up with all these tie-dye shirts, you know? So it's, you know, you guys kind of have it good there with your branding.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment.
You should.
As a business owner.
Yeah, you should. Absolutely was a great idea. And then I feel like anybody who does tie-dye, at least to the level that you guys do, is seriously just a copycat.
A copycat.
Right?
I know. We didn't invent tie-dye. We just brought it to CrossFit.
Yeah, that was perfect. It was perfect.
Made it popular. I don't even know if it is popular, but it definitely stands out in the crowd.
Last night I did a 4x750. On the rower?
4x750?
Yeah, 750 meters. And I was rowing pretty slow, like around 130. I'm sorry, not 130. 153, you know, just kind of holding steady. And then a two-minute break in between each interval.
Right.
And I'd hop on the bike and hold like 19 miles an hour on the bike, you know, and then just get back on the rower and back and forth for 4 rounds.
Right, just getting aerobic with it.
Just getting aerobic. And I was wearing my Reebok Athlete tie-dyed Blair Morrison shirt that I stole from you. Actually, 2 years ago in the...
That doesn't fit you, does it?
Bro, barely. Barely. And I was wearing my Progenics, like, digi camo shorts at the same time.
Right.
With a tie-dye shirt. It is perfect.
That was great.
Yeah, and I didn't have time to find my workout shoes. So I just slipped my high-top Jordans on. So I'm, like, wearing, like, high-top Jordans. You know, it was great.
Yeah, you're the future.
Yeah, exactly, right? So I think that's going to be our look. So we'll take tie-dye up top, camo down low, and high tops for the feet.
Right.
You know, and that'll be the Iron Mile look. And people are like, man, that's really good.
I would love to see you show up at regionals wearing that outfit.
I'd probably get a lot of airtime.
You would get. You're going to get a lot of airtime. We said this off the air. You're going to be in that first heat probably. Mm-hmm. And I'm expecting you to be winning that first heat.
Well, you know, the regions, there's just so little difference right now between the number 20 and 22 guys and the top guys. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's getting so much better that I hope that at regionals there's workouts and skills that really start to, you know.
Well, you know there's going to be.
Yeah.
You know there will be.
That's true.
Every year, you know, that's how it works. The regional workouts are very different than the open workouts, and you know, at least the last 2 years or any indication, they favor you.
How long before we get those regional workouts? Do you remember how long they give them to us before the first regional?
Like a week and a half, maybe?
Yeah.
It's like not that much time. And we're the first region this year, mm-hmm. which I kind of prefer.
Yeah.
I like I like that they don't have to practice it a million times, you know?
Yeah. That gets really redundant.
Yeah, really redundant. And I feel like I want to just rely on our training rather than our ability to cram for the
test. It's more of a true test, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I like that. So if we get blown out of the water on that true kind of a test, I'm like, hey, man, we didn't deserve it. But sometimes I feel like it's a different skill entirely to be able to prepare for a workout that is known.
Right.
And I don't, not that it's, you know, any less impressive to compete and compete well, having done that, but I just feel like it's less CrossFit. You know what I mean? It's less pure.
Right.
The purest form of CrossFit is to show up not knowing what it is and then do it and then see who's the best.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what I like.
Unknown and unknowable.
Right.
Right.
So the closer we can make it to that,
the better.
The better, I think. And I'm not saying that that favors me necessarily. I just think it's pure CrossFit. You know?
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So has anything changed for you now that you know the team's qualified? Obviously, you guys kind of banked on that. But do you see your guys' team training change at all? Is there anything?
I'm so glad you asked. I'm very excited to talk to you about our team training. So what we're going to do is we're going to basically do regionals every weekend up until regionals. So this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, plan was to do 2013 regionals as written.
Okay.
The team version.
Right.
And
I gathered that.
The weekend after that, we'll do 2014. The weekend after that, we'll do 2015. And then that'll take us right into the next weekend after that. You and I are going to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Right?
Like 1 month from now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So after doing those 3 weekends of regionals, what that should do for us is give us a good idea of what we are not good at, right? From a regional level. And
sure.
Who on our team is weak at what things. So that's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're also going to train on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and that's going to be more kind of like specific weaknesses.
Are you able to get the whole team together for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Not every weekend, but right. We just do the best we can.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to get, you know, 6 to 8 people in the same room, especially when we have one guy who's a police officer, another guy who's a firefighter. So like their jobs aren't that flexible. I can't just take off. But we'll do the best we can.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think for me, you know, I'm kind of, even though I'm not on the regional team, I'm spending a lot of time coaching this team,
right?
You know, leading this team, so to speak. But you know, really, I feel like the skill level at regionals is so much more difficult, right? Yeah. The loads are so much more difficult, and this open was very, I'd feel engine biased, and I see it in my own gym because I saw the girls who would normally win a workout that included muscle ups or rope climbs not necessarily do the best in the open,
right? Yeah.
So now I've got to put together a team that's not necessarily ranked.
This is a very delicate process.
It is a very delicate process. And so I've got to go through that. And then also the girls and the guys too, who maybe...
Well, what's your pool? How many guys and how many girls?
Well, the guys pool is like five.
Realistically, five guys.
Five guys.
Okay.
Yeah. So four of them are going to get a
five
spot.
Five guys. Burgers.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Five of them are there. And
girls is four.
Girls is... No, my girls is crazy. We have like a one girl who this year in the open just crushed it, right? And then I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I got another 4 or 5 girls. Yeah, I've got 4 more girls. So I've got 5 girls. Yeah.
So you got 5 girls and mm-hmm. 5 guys for really 3 and 3.
Yeah.
Okay. So how are you going to handle... I've done this before, but I'm curious how you're going to handle it.
Well, I figured out the men's side. You know, I work out with those guys a lot. And so I kind of know...
So you already know who your 3 guys are.
I know my 3 guys are. I know who my alternate is.
Oh, so you got 3. Okay. So you have 3 guys for your team.
Yep.
You got
and
that.
Then
this is not like a decision process. I thought you had to come up with a way to weed them out.
No, so I've got that figured out. And then I also have my 3 girls, but I just need to figure out who my alternate is going to be, because on the alternate side, one possesses skills that are really advantageous in one area of gymnastics and one has them in another area of gymnastics.
But as the alternate, she's never going to be on the floor.
Unless somebody gets hurt, right?
Before regionals. When do you have to declare your alternate?
I think it happens before. You would know better than I do.
I I don't think it happens that soon.
No?
No.
Well, maybe I'll have to make a decision.
Because I remember in 2013 and 2014, we had time to go through these, what I called, oh, what's the word? Proficiency tests.
Right.
Regional proficiency tests, where we took movements and weights that were common to regionals over the past, you know, 3 or 4 years. And we just made the athletes run through them to see who was the best at regionals style stuff.
Sure.
And we had time to do that before we had to announce who the team was going to be. So I don't think you have to submit those team names until right before regionals.
Well, then that's what I will do with the girl side. And I'll kind of talk to those people who are in that area. And then I'll,
so long as they're all listed on your team, you know, for the open.
Yeah.
You can, I think you have a lot of time to make that decision.
That's great. That makes you feel really good.
Yeah. And I think, dude, the more fairly and openly you make that criteria and that decision, mm-hmm. the better. Because the last thing you want is uncertainty or like perceived bias. You know, we talked to, remember, I don't want to say names, but we talked to multiple friends of ours from other gyms who have competitive teams who said that's just, it's not unbiased. You know,
right.
certain people are getting preferential treatment because they're either, you know,
skin color.
No, they're involved with, you know, the owner of a gym, or, you know, they have this, a history with the team, or
you
know, there was not an objective way to kind of select the team. In your case, it's like it's pretty clear cut. You know who the three guys and the three girls are. That's great. But in other cases, I think it's really important to have some sort of a program in place where you say, hey, we're going to give you guys all a fair shot. Y'all performed good enough in the open to be considered for this. And now, all right, here's the regional tests as they come. You know, it's going to be, you got to show, you know, time on chest bar pull-ups, X number. You got to show time on power cleans, you know, X weight,
right?
Whatever. And then just let it shake out. Mm-hmm. And they compete against each other, and then it's fair.
Yeah. Know? No, I like it. That makes me feel pretty happy. I can, you know, don't have to make that decision right away.
Yeah, I don't think you do.
Good.
So, we got a lot of time to think about it, and I'm sure you have a good game plan to prepare, but we're going back to the same venue as last year, right? I haven't heard of too many new names in at least the California region. There's a couple undecided people. We're not sure if they're going to be individual or team, but from the looks of things, you know, the gauntlet is there. And what do you think, man? Think you're going to make it this year?
You know, I had a lot of confidence going into the open, you know, and then I didn't have the best open. And I really feel like there's a deficiency that I can't address before regionals, and it won't affect my other strengths. So I think it actually make them better. You know, I feel like I'll be able to cycle a barbell better if I can breathe better. I feel like I can be able to, you know, spend more time doing movements that typically give me a hard time, you know? So I feel really good about this year.
Do you think that the fact that you actually finished lower in the open takes some pressure off going into regionals? Because you're going to be in the first heat instead of the last heat? Or do you think that the way you finished the last couple of years is like, the open's kind of whatever. It's just getting
the open is kind of whatever for me. You know, I know I'm not an open athlete. You know, like I don't get to showcase any of the things that I'm good at.
Right.
Right. Like I don't get to do any of that stuff. So for me, it's kind of whatever. Do I have pressure going into regionals? Only the pressure I put on myself. You know, I kind of always train like I'm second anyway. You know, I never feel like I've arrived. I never feel like I've gotten to my potential with the sport, with fitness. You know, it doesn't matter if it's lifts, it doesn't matter if it's running, it doesn't matter what it is. I feel like I've always got a little bit more to give, so I always train really hard. But right now, I'm super focused on developing my aerobic capacity, you know, and just trying to, I don't want to go from 35th place on the chipper to, you know, 5th. You know, I just want to move from 35th to 18th.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
That's all it takes, man. Last 2 years, that chipper workout, and if you're 20th, you go.
That's 2 years in a row I would have made the CrossFit Games had that went differently. But fixing something like a chipper and long time domains is not as simple as just fixing long time. Like, it takes a long time to build aerobic capacity. It takes a long time to develop some of those high reps. Keeping up with somebody like Josh Bridges, if you're taking first to to first place versus my
right.
35th place or whatever, there's a big difference between his ability to move over time and mine, mm-hmm. right? He's smaller. He's got an aerobic base, you know, just like it's going to take him years to get as strong as I am, you know? More likely, I will never be as good at long chippers as him, but and most never, likely, he will never snatch 300 pounds.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but we are both working like dogs trying to fix our holes.
Right. Well, I mean, I think it's going to be a really fun...
And I don't mean to put me and Josh Bridges in the same conversation.
Well, he's a guy that didn't make it last year. I mean, you guys are both...
But he was second in 2011, and he was, you know, he's been to the CrossFit
Games. Yeah, I mean, he's done more in the sport than you have. But this year, if all that matters is this year, is like, hey, you guys both are hungry to get there. In the field, from Northern California, you got Marcus Philly, who's been to the Games. Garrett Fisher, who's been to the Games.
Great athlete.
Gabe Soubry, that's been to the Games.
Terrible human being.
Those are your only Games individual athletes that are there.
Right.
Right? You also have Dakota Rager. You got Lauren Adams, Will Zerlang.
I don't know who those guys are.
Ryan Hignall. I think Hignall's a legit contender.
Dude, I always feel like Ryan's good. And I was just joking about Will, Lauren, and Dakota. But I feel like Ryan Hignall is he's a sleeper for sure. And if the programming comes out in a certain way, he's a guy who really could just jump ahead of a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, he's incredible with the body weight stuff.
Yeah.
Like his pull-ups and handstand push-ups are, I mean, better than yours. And you're really good at that stuff. So, all right, on the Southern California, you got Josh Bridges, Rasmus Anderson.
Rasmus is just crazy this year. He's went off, you know? Yeah. Like he's one of the better athletes I've seen in the Open.
But he has never been to the Games as an individual either.
Mm-hmm. He's terrible.
Josh has. Dan Bailey has.
Yep.
Julian Alcaraz has just last year. Kenny Leverich has. Who else we got? Those are your previous Games individuals that I recognize.
Right.
Now, there's also guys like Nuno Costa, who's another Invictus guy. I don't know if he's going to do individual this year.
I think he's going team.
He's going team?
Yeah.
He usually does team. You know who I don't see from the Southern California region?
Chad Melton. I heard Chad wasn't having as much fun this year and decided to take a year off.
Is that right?
Yep. I mean, he kind of accomplished his goal of going to
the Games.
Going to the Games. And I don't know. I talk to Chad when I see him because he's a good dude. I just haven't had a chance to really catch up with him, you know, outside of this.
Right. So that's one guy you don't have to worry about. And we know Neil's not there this year.
Mm-hmm.
Maddox. I don't see... Para either. John Para.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, he's not on this list. So I don't know if he took a year off as well.
Right.
But that's another game.
We know he's
guy
got stuff going on.
From last year.
Yeah. So the door's wide open. You know, the door's wide open. Somebody's going to have to step up and take it. So I don't know. We're just going to see what happens. And I'm looking forward to what the rest of the season has. And, you know, it's going to be fun one way or the other.
Right. And we're going to be down there, my gym, as a team. We're going to try to invade San Diego Fairgrounds with tie-dye and see if we can challenge for a top five spot. Definitely the team competitions. It seems like the team thing is harder to break into than the individual.
Like there's these established teams.
Established teams that just really know how to compete. So that's going to be a big challenge, but I'm excited for it. I think we have a team that, you know, if the workouts come just right, we may have a shot. But at the very least, I expect us to be in the top 10 all weekend.
Yeah. I think you guys are going to do really good. We're going to hear Tie-Dye Nation.
Kiki's going to be talking about Tie-Dye Nation just all the time.
Right. Kiki does such a good job.
She does.
It's funny because I actually got asked to by a couple of my athletes. They're like, hey, you sure you want to go individual? And they were trying to get in my ear and trying to make me go team because they felt like they had a better shot at qualifying.
That they did?
That they would have a shot at qualifying if I went with them.
Well, you definitely have a better shot with you than without you.
Yeah. But, you know, you know what? One thing, I don't want to take another spot away from a guy in my gym, you know, and I always like going individual. And my goal is really to qualify for the CrossFit Games.
Right. And if anything, you look at this year's Open as being like, hey, it's not a guarantee that I get the choice
exactly
every year.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you get the choice and it's still, you know, I mean, you have a legitimate chance every year you're there,
right?
Because of the athlete that you are.
Right.
Like, I can look in the mirror and say that I don't have a legitimate chance to qualify as an individual. I just don't. Like, I don't have the strength it requires. And that's been proven over the last couple of years where my placings in the other workouts, the non-strength biased workouts, were very impressive.
Not enough to offset the strength workouts.
But not enough to offset the strength workouts. It's just, that's just the athlete that I am now and where the sport is. And that's fine. You know, as a team, we said we have a chance. But for you, if you're there, if you're in the mix, you got a real shot. And so you got to take advantage of those opportunities.
Well, I will. And you guys keep listening because we're going to be, you know, catching you up every week on our training. And we'll catch up with a few other regional athletes.
Yeah, why don't you tell them who we're going to talk to coming up?
Well, you mean like next month when we leave?
Yeah.
Well, next month when we leave, we are going to Rich Froning's neck of the woods.
Yeah, Mayhem for Mustard Seed fundraiser.
Yeah, exactly. And that fundraiser is for
Mustard Seed.
Mustard Seed.
Mustard Seed Foundation.
And Blair and myself will be throwing our hat in the ring and actually competing there the week or so before regionals, but it's all for charity and it's all for fun. But we're going to talk to Rich, and I've heard that there's quite a few CrossFit web celebrities.
Yeah, we're going to have Rich's team and him there, of course. We got Ben Smith and the Smith brothers, Scott Panchik and the Panchik brothers. A lot of people going to be roaming around Tennessee that weekend.
Dan Bailey, I saw him at CrossFit HQ the other day, and he actually said he was going to cruise out that way.
No way.
Yeah. Or he was at least strongly considering it. So.
Well, hey, strong consideration from him. We'll take it.
Yeah. So, yeah, you guys keep listening for those, and also subscribe to our newsletter at btbpodcast.com and follow us at btbpodcast on Instagram. You can check out me and Blair on IG as well.
Yeah, go buy a coffee mug. They're pretty legit.
Oh, yeah.
Anywherefit.com.
There you go.